to our next hymn, and I'd like you to turn to it now, please. It's hymn number 537. 537, and I think you'll know this hymn in Six Mile Cross. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? There's a question for you as you've gathered out today. You can ask yourself that question. Am I a soldier of the cross? Out on the battlefield, this world's not our home. This is enemy territory. Are we fighting the Lord's battle on the front line? Or do we want to hide away in the barracks, keep our head down, and not profess or confess that we know him? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his name or own his cause or blush to speak his name? Let's stand, please, once again, and we'll sing this well-known hymn together. And I'm going to wait till you get us started again, and then I'll try and come in behind you. After two, one, two. Someone has once said there's more lies sang in churches. I trust we weren't singing lies to God this morning as you sang those words. Imagine standing here this morning in God's house singing lies. And God is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship God in spirit and in truth and sing lies. And we have been singing, since I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And that will not blush to own his name. We're going to have our main scripture reading just now, and then after we have this reading, we'll have our offering hymn. And I'd ask you to turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul quotes the verse that we read earlier here in Psalm 116, where David said, "I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted." So now, in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and there's 18 verses. We read this chapter together, and it's my prayer that God will minister to your heart even as we read the word. And we'll read it carefully, slowly, and distinctly because it's so important. Verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," that's with a small g, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," the glorious gospel of Christ, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants." Or that word is douloi in the Greek. It means your slaves. Those who have been redeemed with precious blood. Those who are not their own but have been bought with a price and belong to the Lord. "And ourselves your slaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith," this is where Paul now, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, alludes back to what David has said there in the psalm that we read. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing," there's an important word. If it's not true in your life, this next verse, you'll not speak anything. But if you really know this and believe this, then you'll speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, or that word could be translated superabound, to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, though this body of clay perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and if you know what Paul endured, lashes and shipwreck and stonings, you mightn't have described it as light affliction. We can think we're greatly afflicted, and we don't know a fraction of what Paul endured. But Paul writes here in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just for this little short life, what's that in light of eternity? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How many of us have got that whole verse completely in reverse? And we're so taken up with the things that are temporal and look so little at the things which are eternal. Oh, it was not like that in Paul's life. It was the complete opposite. And he lived for the glory of God and counted all the persecution and suffering and trouble on every side. And he said, we're perplexed, persecuted, cast down. That's my light affliction. Because his eyes were on things that were eternal. I pray God will write that word in your heart. I feel that God has already spoken through his living word. I pray that's the case. We're going to come now to our offering hymn, and it's hymn 548. 548, and we'll keep our seats as the offering. We give tithes and offering to the Lord. And that's an act of worship. It's very much part of an act of worship. We sing in worship to God. We pray worshipfully to God. We give our tithes and offerings in worship to God. We pray that he'll minister to our hearts through his word. 548. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side, and who for him will go? By thy call of mercy. And that phrase there, by thy call of mercy, doesn't that just remind you of what Paul said there in verse 1? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. If you're saved today, we have received mercy, but not only have we received mercy, mercy holds back from us what we deserved. But thank God we have received grace, because grace brings to us what we don't deserve. By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine. So we'll sing as the offering is lifted, and I'll just maybe get us started through, if you go after two. One, two. Tune here, do we? Is this a new one for you? Right. We'll not just put you through that then if you don't know that tune. Do you know one? Is there anyone you do know there? 546, brilliant. Onward Christian soldiers, we know that one, marching as to war. And the sentiment is still the same and very appropriate for the message the Lord has laid on my heart. So after 2, 546, 1, 2. Let's stand, we'll sing the last verse, verse 5, chorus of this hymn. And I think we're struggling a wee bit, but we're doing all right. Keep up the volume anyway. So, onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. After 2, 1. I'm sure there was at least some of us singing in tune, eh? I hope we're better at marching than we are at singing, eh? I'm glad the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't say you have to make a harmonious one. Could we turn back, please, to that passage? Maybe you have your Bible still open at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's really, there's so much in that chapter that we would love to speak on and preach on, and especially in the earlier part of the chapter. But I want to focus our thoughts mainly today on from verses 13 down to the end to verse 18. And we'll just read that verse 13 again, and then we'll commit the rest of this meeting to the Lord and ask for his help. We having... Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. we also believe and therefore speak. Let's bow our heads and we'll ask that God will speak. And I trust, and I really want to encourage you to pray, Lord, speak to me. Let me not go out of this house today not hearing a word from the God of heaven. You pray that, and you pray that earnestly. God, the Holy Spirit, speak to me. Heavenly Father, I'm very glad and thankful, Lord, that we are able to gather together and open up the very Word of God. It is our prayer that God, the Holy Spirit, who gave this Word, will minister to every one of our hearts. Speak to our hearts. May that be the prayer of every person here, that we would hear your voice. Lord, we can look back over our lives when you have spoken with clarity and with power. And we can remember those meetings and we can remember those times and we can think of those verses that have come with great force and authority into our hearts and lives. And you've wrote them with a pen of iron. We've never forgotten what you've said to us. And it wasn't a man who was speaking. It wasn't the minister. It was your Word. Father, that's our prayer, that you would speak to our hearts, to your people. Lord, it's very easy for us just to come in on the Lord's day and sit down and go out again. And just go through the motions, as it were. Save us, Lord, from that. Help us, Lord, today to feed on your Word. Help us, Lord, today to really, really hear your Word. We know that we will have heard it when we obey it. And you have said, if we love you, we'll keep your commands. So, Father, to that end, minister to the hearts of your people. If there's those, Lord, in this building or online, and they're not saved, and all that they can do this morning is call you their Creator and their Judge, but they can't call you Father, because they've never been born again of the Spirit of God. And they've never been born into the family of God. And they have been living all their lives to this day, and their father is the devil. Lord, I pray, O God, in amazing grace, you'll open their hearts. And Lord, that you would save them, that they might surrender their lives to you. They might realize that salvation is not a reward for the righteous, but rather a gift for the guilty. They would simply acknowledge that they are guilty sinners and that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Look by faith to him. Lord, thank you that you're still saving souls. Thank you that you're still transforming lives. We thank you this morning that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You reveal yourself in the gospel. We get a revelation of your Son. We see him. And behold the Lamb of God. May there be men and women, boys and girls who would do that today. We would get our eyes off everything else that would distract us. Get our eyes afresh on the Lord Jesus Christ. And go home today rejoicing. Because we have heard from your Word. This is our prayer. We offer it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I think it's good we just read these last few verses again. It's what the Lord has put in my heart for this meeting today. And I'll just say at the outset, if you are looking for an easy, painless life in this world with as little problems and as little persecution as possible, then do not become a Christian. If you just want an easy life in this wicked world, with as little trouble and as little persecution as possible, pain-free, keep your head down, don't become a Christian. Sadly, that's a shock to some people, that statement. If that statement that I've just made shocks you, then you have an unscriptural view of what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ in a wicked, sinful world. But I trust and pray that today you will understand from the Word of God what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ and really serve Him and follow Him. Let's read these verses, please, together again. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. And our focus is primarily on what it means to really live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to belong to Him. You see, the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 9, and you don't have to look up the passage, but if you're taking notes, you can certainly take note, and if you want to look it up, Luke 9:23, Jesus says clearly, if any man, and the word there in the Greek translated man is really whosoever, it just encompasses anyone, mankind. If any man, whosoever, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily is every day, and follow me. So it's not a call to be popular in this world. It's definitely not a call to be popular. If you want to be popular, if you want an easy life, you don't want any persecution, you don't want people to laugh and mock, then don't become a Christian. And many want to just keep their heads down and conform to this world and have as easy a life as they can. But then when they die in their sin, they will spend all eternity in everlasting punishment. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ describes hell in Matthew 25, verse 46. He describes it as everlasting punishment. I have heard some of these TV evangelists, and we don't have TV, so I've heard it quoted and read in books. But they talk about your best life now. Your best life now? The only way this can be your best life now is if you're going to be in hell after you die. If you're going to be in heaven after you die, this is not your best life now. But this prosperity gospel is popular. It's popular, sadly, here in America. It's even got into Africa a lot. This humanistic prosperity gospel, and that God, look, he'll make everything go well for you, and he'll put springs in your wagon, and you'll just have a nice easy time, and he'll bless you in all of these different things, and when you die you'll not go to hell and you'll go to heaven, and he's got a great plan for your life. And that message really, that really appeals to the old sinful flesh. That just appeals because the person says to themselves, well, I don't want to go to hell. I'd like to go to heaven. And I've got a good plan for my life. And I'd like things to go well. What wee prayer do I need to say? And they just continue on in their sin. Loving their sin. Loving themselves. Putting the things of this world first. They've never taken up the cross. Never surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. They've never repented of their sin. And they can live and go through the motions of ritual and ceremony and religion. And warm a pew now and again. And die and go to hell in their sin. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is very clear. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. King David, back in that psalm that we read, the Apostle Paul could say, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And what does he speak about? What is it that he believes? And verse 14 tells us, knowing. He really, really knew this. There was a very real time in history when God the Son went outside the walls of Jerusalem, was crucified on a cross, and died in the sinner's place, and his body was placed in that sepulchre. And 3 days later, he rose again. And as one brother prayed in the prayer meeting, he walked then there in the garden and revealed himself to the Marys who were there. They didn't initially recognize him, but then he revealed himself. You know, God will have to reveal himself to you. You could sit in church Sunday after Sunday and hear about him and hear about him, but never recognize him, never really understand who he is. But it's our prayer that God, the Holy Spirit, will open your heart and open your mind and open your eyes. And even in the passage that we've just read, you see, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want you to get a proper view of who Jesus Christ is. Because when you know who he is, you bow before him and give your life to him like Paul had done. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. And because Paul really believed this and because Paul really knew this, he says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. He couldn't keep it quiet. And it led to all manner of problems and trouble for him. But if you're a true follower of the Lord Jesus and you stay close to him, and Paul certainly had that desire that he prayed that I might know him, that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That was the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. But if you stay close to him and become more and more like him and be salt and light in this world, then you will have persecution. That's what the Bible teaches. Certainly not what these false prosperity gospel preachers teach. A false gospel that's damning souls in hell. But the Lord Jesus and God and his word is very clear. You walk, you give your life to Jesus Christ, you follow him, you walk close to him. The more you're conformed to him, the more you live like him, speak like him, and be salt and light in this world, then you will have persecution. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord Jesus says in John 15 and verse 20, the servant, that is the slave, is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, the Lord Jesus says, they will also persecute you. No, don't be surprised that you're not popular when you stand up for Jesus Christ. When you stand for the truth. That's not a popular thing to do in this wicked, ungodly world. But it's what we're called to do as soldiers of the cross. Very easy to just keep your head down. Very easy to want to just go and sit in the barracks. But we're called to fight on the front line and put on the whole armor of God. Take the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and stand up for Jesus. Sadly, we, as we've already said, live in a humanistic world where many who claim to be Christians have made a God out of being safe and hiding away. How many people are now, this phrase, stay safe? Have you heard that? I know they're talking about physically staying safe, but I don't know how you can do that without the Lord's help anyway. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. But we want to be very careful about that. Paul was following the Lord Jesus, preaching the gospel, and it wasn't safe for him. It was far from safe. It was very far from safe. You turn with me just quickly, please, to Acts. Turn back to Acts chapter 14. I'll probably end up skipping over some things because as I was preparing this message, the Lord was bringing a lot of different things to my mind, but brought this to my mind, and I want us to see this together here this morning. Acts chapter 14. Paul's been preaching, and he's been preaching in Lystra. And the people in Lystra, it says in verse 7, and we preached the gospel. And there they preached the gospel. It wasn't very popular. And the reaction was not good. Look what it says in verse 19. This is what happened after the apostle Paul. He says, I believe and therefore I speak. And he doesn't water down the truth. And he's telling people, you are a sinner born in sin. And you deserve the wrath of God for your sin. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And your only hope is in Him. You can do nothing. He's done everything. Turn from your sin. Follow Him. That's the gospel. This is the message that Paul is preaching. It's not popular. Verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, they stoned him. Drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They actually thought they had managed to kill him. And when they thought they had him dead, they just trailed him out of the city, outside the walls, and left him for dead. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not suffering so much persecution today because we're not walking as close to the Lord as we should. Howbeit, look at verse 20, as the disciples stood round about him, some other believers who were there, they stand round about his body. They think he's dead, but he wasn't. He must have been unconscious. He rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, he didn't stop preaching. He'd just been stoned. Can you imagine having an open air in Omagh yesterday and they stone you? And some of the others here stand around your body thinking you're dead. And you come round again and you stand up and they get you gathered up and no doubt bandage up your wounds and you go off to another place and out you are again preaching the gospel. I believed, therefore I speak. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul really believed that. Do we? Paul could say, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's not taken up with the temporal things that are just like that. He's thinking about eternity, eternal things. And look what it says in verse 22. He returned again. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. Stay safe. Stay safe. Paul, he got stoned in the thought that killed him in Lystra. Now he goes back again to Lystra, to Iconium and Antioch. 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. What's he exhorting them? What's he telling them? Listen, you'll have a nice, sweet, easy life and you'll have no problems now. Is that his message? exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It was no social gospel. No easy believism. Say a wee prayer and everything will go well. No. You become a follower of Jesus Christ. You're going to take up your cross and follow him. When someone in biblical times took up the cross, they were going to be crucified and they were not coming back. They weren't coming back to their friends and family. They were going to die. They were going to end. And Paul says in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what he knew, and that's what he believed, and therefore he spoke. And he spoke with the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit, because it was real in his life. Is it real in your life? Or are you just trying to keep your head down? Are you a soldier of the cross? Do you blush to mention his name? Would you say to someone, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loved me and gave himself for me, a sinner who deserves hell. We need to stand for Christ and for the truth in this wicked world and not worry about what people think or say about us. That's what it is to die to self. You're not going to worry. You've only one master to please. All you want is to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful slave. Because that's the same word, doulos. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, kurios. Kurios in Greek is Lord, the one who's supreme in authority, the one who has absolute control over life and death, over everything. Is that the well done you want? But yet, men and women, in saying all of this, and we have to be thick-skinned and we have to go out there boldly, we go with a tender heart. And the world will know that we are the true children of God when we have a love for one another and we love the brethren. So yet at the same time, as God's children, we ought to have a tender conscience toward one another and care very much for one another and do good to them that hate us and love our enemies. And we'll not just blindly walk into danger. I'm not saying that. Or we'll not take unnecessary risk. But we'll have this Holy Ghost boldness and a belief in the message that it's real and it's urgent and people need to hear the message. You see, stay safe. I was thinking about this, and actually I see a colleague from work has come. And she's very welcome with her son. I'm really recognizing her now. I saw a lady up there and I thought she looks very like a lady from work. I was sharing this with her the other day in the office. So she'll recognize this message. We were talking about this. She asked me what I was going to preach on in 6 Mile Cross. So she got a little 3-minute overview. I was thinking about this. Stay safe. Could you imagine a building on fire and people are in that building? They're about to be burned to death. And the fire brigade are sitting in the fire engine outside, drinking tea, having fellowship, and saying to each other, stay safe. Over there, you get burned. We go over there to try and rescue those people. We could get burned ourselves. We could face some risk and some difficulty. That was not the mind of the Apostle Paul. And you wouldn't think too well of any fireman in Northern Ireland who thought like that. You wouldn't think too well of a soldier who thought like that when there was a battle on. No, listen, the commander-in-chief gives the command, there's a war on. Right, you're called up, leave the barracks, meet you on the plane tomorrow. Front line of the battle, and there's going to be bullets flying. I would have seen that. I'm very comfortable here at home. And I'm very happy with my family. And I need to stay safe. What sort of a soldier would that be? Am I a soldier of the cross? We sang that hymn. I asked you today to ask yourself that question. Do we really believe? Paul says, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. And this is a real thing. I'm not here today just to fill an hour. I'm here today to challenge you in light of Scripture. And I want to tell you, challenge myself, that we be real. There's enough dead, empty, false religion in this world. The devil's taken more people to hell through religion than any other way. Muslims are up praying 5 times every day. Oh, the devil's having a good time watching people going through ritual and ceremony and empty, dead religion. God's salvation is nothing about formal dead religion. It's all about a relationship with a living Savior. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know him? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Salvation is found in a person and not in a denomination. It's not found in religion. It's a saving relationship with the one who is life. Do you know anything about it? Can you say like David? Can you say like Paul? I believed and therefore have I spoken. I can't not speak about this. It's real in my life. And I know I deserve hell. I know I could have done nothing and can do nothing to save myself. But Jesus Christ is a glorious Savior. He has done everything. He took my sin, and the wrath of God that should have fell upon me, fell upon him. In my place condemned he stood. And now I have his righteousness imputed to me simply through faith in what he has done. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. I believe there are men and women in Six Mile Cross. You can say that too. Isn't that wonderful? Does that not rejoice your heart? If that's not thrilling your soul and rejoicing your heart, I fear for you. Maybe all you have is just dead, pharisaical, T-crossing, I-dotting, empty religion. There was plenty of that when the Lord Jesus was on this earth. His greatest enemies were those Pharisees, religious people. They were the ones who nailed him. They were the ones who condemned him. They were the ones who cried out, crucify him. And sadly, today there are many like that. Finally, I want to ask a question, a very important question. It feeds into this passage and it takes us down through into the next few verses. Why do we want to see souls saved? Do we want to really live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say like Paul, let us not be content with dainty words, one service on a Sunday, singing a few hymns half-heartedly under our breath, but rather by God's grace, let us dare to really trust our God. Let's venture our all for him. Let's live and die for him. Let's preach Christ to a lost world and do it with his joy and his praise in our hearts and on our lips. You know, as I pulled into the car park, I noticed your graveyard, and it reminded me of something Dr. Paisley once said to a wee woman. She says, you seem to be always in a battle. I suppose that links to Paul here, persecution and difficulty. And Dr. Paisley said to her, there's plenty of peace and quiet in a graveyard, but it's the peace of the dead. And you could go to some wee church And they all come in and there's a nice wee bit of music playing and there's some by in the pulpit and all he'll go through is a lot of rhyme and ritual. Empty dead religion. The peace of the dead. But whenever you are quickened and made alive in Jesus Christ, I tell you, you'll stand for him and you'll not be popular. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. Broad's the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. One minister said recently, maybe you'll know him, I'm sure you do know him, Mr. Paul Hanna. You know, he says, you know the good thing about the broad road? Maybe you never heard that one before, but there's one good thing about the broad road. There's room to turn. That's the only good thing about it. There's room to turn. And that's what repentance is. It's turning. Turning from your sin. Thank God today you can turn and give your life to Jesus Christ. But why? Why do we want souls to be saved? Why do we want souls to be saved? There's a good question. If you're saved today, love the Lord. We want to obey the Lord, his command and the Great Commission. Why do we want to see souls saved? Is it very simply that they will escape hell? Is that the reason? Is that the primary? That's certainly one of the reasons. Is that the primary reason? It's not. There is a much greater and higher reason than that. And it's in verse 15. See what it says? In that verse, it says that, underline the word that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or superabound to the glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Romans 11:36, for of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Because he alone is worthy of our worship. The great desire of our hearts is that souls will be saved and that they will stop living their lives in rebellion and hostility against God. And that they would be born again of the Spirit of God and their lives changed so that from this day they might live the rest of their lives for the glory of God. Because he's worthy. That's the primary reason. And that we would all one day be gathered around the throne and we would say unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sin to be glory and majesty and dominion and power. So the glory of God is the primary thing. We lose sight of that, we have missed the main thing. I trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will write this word on your heart. If you're saved, you really believe this to be true, then speak up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Paul spoke up for the Lord Jesus and it wasn't safe. Stay safe. Stay safe. That's the talk of dead religion. It's not the words of the Bible. Paul was stoned to the thought he had died in Lystra, and he went back to the same place and preached again. May God give us Holy Ghost boldness to live for him. I'd like us to close by singing three verses. Verse 1, 3 and 4 of hymn 537. Hymn 537, we've been quoting it already. We've sang it earlier. I'd ask you to think about the words. Think about them again. And you can keep your seats. And then we'll stand for prayer at the end. But keep your seats now and we'll sing verses 1, verse 3 and verse 4 together. Am I a soldier of the cross? Now I want you to be real. Be real. Don't be a hypocrite. Be honest before a holy God today, who sees your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? After two, we sing verse 1, 3 and 4. 1:2.
I, a soldier of
prayer. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for help given in this meeting today. I want to thank you most of all for a sense of your presence and speaking voice. Minister on to our hearts. Pray that as each person gathered here now will travel to their homes, that the message, the word that they have received will be very clear, and will speak on. And Lord, that it will produce good fruit. For those who are born again, Lord, that we would be fruitful for you. That we would be salt and light in this world. That we'll not be ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, for those in this meeting who are not saved, I pray that you would put your finger upon them even now and show them their lost condition. May they tremble under the broken law and understand that, Lord, you will punish every single sin with the full force of divine justice upon that sin. That a holy and a righteous and a just God must and will do what is right. If they die outside of Jesus Christ, they will be lost. But Lord, I pray, O God, that they would realize that there is salvation today for a look at the crucified one. To look away from themselves, look by faith alone to Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, the only Savior from sin. We thank you, Lord, that you are still saving souls. We thank you, Lord, for lives that have been changed, evidently changed. And people can see and know and take note of the change that you make in a sinner's life. Lord, we realize that this narrow road and this world is not our home. We realize that we will face difficulties and persecution and mocking and scorning. But Lord, we rejoice that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. You're the good shepherd, and your rod and staff bring comfort to your people, to your sheep. So, Lord, even throughout the week that lies ahead, help us to live for you. Help us to be witnesses for you. Give us the great joy of even pointing souls to Jesus Christ, that a soul will be saved from sin and from an eternity in hell, but more than that, there'll be a life transformed to live for your honor and for your praise and for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.